From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. When you hear the name of the nonprofit Doctors Without Borders, you're usually hearing about a catastrophe. The devastating cyclone that hit Mozambique last week, for example, or the Ebola epidemic in Congo, or streams of refugees. In more than 60 countries across the globe, Doctors Without Borders works to care for the displaced, medical treatment, food, safety. What's involved in doing this work? Donna Canale, a nurse and team coordinator, shares the nonprofit's principles.
Impartiality means we will take care of whoever needs it. It doesn't matter what group they belong to, what side of a conflict they belong to. And all we ask of the different sides is that when they enter our facilities, they leave their guns and their uniforms behind.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. When we hear in the news about the nonprofit Médecins Sans Frontières, MSF, or Doctors Without Borders in English, it's generally bad news. Often an emergency has turned into a crisis. For example, a few weeks ago, at the center of the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Doctors Without Borders had to suspend operations after its own workers were attacked. What is it like to do this work? Donna Canale, a nurse who has worked on 14 missions for MSF, most recently as a medical coordinator or team leader, is coming to Baltimore Monday to share some of her experiences. She joins us on the line now. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
So 14 missions since you signed up with MSF 15 years ago, mostly in Africa?
That's correct. Almost entirely in Africa, except for the Philippines and Myanmar.
And your first mission was in Uganda, correct?
Yes, it was in Uganda. I arrived there for a six-month mission in January 2005. And most of my missions have actually been in areas of conflict, and that was the case in Uganda in that year.
What did you do?
Well, it was, like I said, it was my first mission, so I was a field nurse. There were many, many different tasks I had. I was the primary MSF contact with an internally displaced persons camp of 60,000 people called PABO. And there I supported the clinic that was run by the Ministry of Health with supplies and also transport to the hospitals when needed. We recruited, trained, and paid a group of 35 community health workers that helped to take care of the health in the camp, including keeping track of any morbidity and mortality in the camp, to give health presentations to the residents, to do malaria testing, to run potable water points when needed. We also had a cholera outbreak while I was there, so we built a cholera treatment center and also did a lot of prevention work in the communities, as well as working and cleaning up the water. We also did mobile clinics to further out areas to bring health care to people even further out. The other big project there was what we called a nut commuter shelter. During that time, the Lord's Resistance Army was creating a lot of terror throughout northern Uganda. Particularly many children were being kidnapped and used as porters, as sex slaves, or as soldiers. So in our shelter, which we built for 4,000 kids, 4,000 to 5,000 would arrive each night just to spend the night to feel a sense of safety for that period of time.
So you were protecting these children at night?
Right. I mean, it wasn't like we had armed guards, but we had them in a shelter within the hospital grounds. And we provided things such as latrines and showers and drinking water, counselors. We gave both medical and mental health care and just a sense of security for the night. They would then leave in the morning and come back again the next night.
You have spoken about widespread sexual violence in displaced persons camps.
Yes, that's absolutely true. In many projects that MSF works in, sexual violence is a big issue. So in many of the camps, whether they're refugee camps or internal displaced persons camps, women are often needing to either leave the camp to look for firewood or possibly to try to work in a field, and that puts them at even greater risk and vulnerability. So women are frequently attacked as well as girls. And in many cultures, particularly, it's very taboo to talk about this, or people don't feel they can bring it up anywhere. So part of our projects often include maternity, women's health, reproductive care. And in those, we have been for years now instituting programs on sexual violence and treatment of people who have been raped and possibly having sexually transmitted diseases, trying to create a place where people can feel safe in discussing what has happened to them and getting some care.
I was shocked to hear about some of the advice that, as a practical matter, needed to be given women in
this
system.
There was a shocking moment for me when I was giving a training to community health workers in this displaced persons camp in Uganda. And we were giving a training on the use of condoms because the HIV rate was quite high and spreading. So we did that as a prevention measure. And as we were giving that, one of the community health workers made a suggestion that we should advise all women in the camp to carry condoms with them when they go out to collect firewood. The idea being that if someone came to rape them, they could offer them a condom in hopes that at least being raped, they wouldn't also necessarily contract HIV. So for me, that, I knew about the level of sexual violence, but still to hear people talk about that in a way, discuss it in a way that they discussed any other problems in the camp, such as not enough water or food. I mean, this is such an incredibly violent act, and yet it was so common. People felt they could talk about it like that.
You mentioned community health workers trained from people living in the camp, but even more professionals, most of those who work for Médecins Sans Frontières are not people like you who hail from another country. Most are local. Talk about
Absolutely.
That.
At any one time, we have about 40,000 people working in the field in approximately 70 countries. And of those 40,000, on average, 90% of them are national staff. Those are people who are from the countries that we are working in. And if we didn't have those folks, we couldn't do the work we do. They are the people that have both the language and the cultural capacity. They're the ones that we often depend upon to help us get security information. And at times when international staff have to leave a project because of security concerns, they are often able to carry on the work either temporarily or on a long-term basis. So they are really so much the backbone of MSF.
That's Donna Canelli, a medical team leader with Médecins Sans Frontières, MSF, or Doctors Without Borders, here on The Record on WIPR. Monday evening at 6:30 at the Baltimore Museum of Art, she'll be sharing some of her experiences from 15 years in the field. You have spoken about MSF's principles of neutrality and impartiality. Give us an example of how those principles played out in one of your missions.
Okay, well, in a number of missions, we were in conflict zones, and we often are. So by being neutral, that means we don't take sides in a conflict. So if there are two sides, maybe government and a militant group, maybe several militant groups, we don't align with any of them. Our neutrality is what we hope will keep us safe and will primarily allow us access to the general population, who are often the people that are most hurt in these conflicts. Impartiality means we will take care of whoever needs it. It doesn't matter what group they belong to, what side of a conflict they belong to, that we will take care of whoever needs medical care. And all we ask of the different sides is that when they enter our facilities, they leave their guns and their uniforms behind. And we, as we're talking to the different sides in conflict areas, we also let them know the only way we can be there is if we are left alone, basically, to do our work. Because if they stop us from doing our work or if we're attacked, it most likely will mean that we have to either leave the area, at least temporarily, if not permanently.
So have there been situations you've been in where these principles became an issue?
Yes, there have been some. And actually in Uganda, we had a vehicle attacked at one point, and we had to stop many of our activities temporarily, and some of them indefinitely. And again, in some of those areas, National Health staff were able to continue working. In South Sudan, I've been there 5 times, and certainly we've had times there where actually we've had to evacuate a project. And sometimes National staff were able to carry on. Other times they weren't. We've had one of our clinics totally destroyed. Actually, we've had a number of clinics, unfortunately, destroyed where both staff and patients had to flee. So what we do, I mean, humanitarian law is supposed to protect health facilities, not just ours, but all health facilities. But, of course, that doesn't always happen. So we have to reassess the situation, the security situation, and see when it is safe for us to go back and start providing care again. I mean, whatever we're suffering, the population in the area is suffering more because often we are the only healthcare providers in that area. And if we have to leave, then they are left without any healthcare.
Donna Canale, a nurse, is a medical coordinator for Médecins Sans Frontières. She'll be speaking Monday evening at 6:30 in the Meyerhoff Auditorium at the Baltimore Museum of Art. It's a free event at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. We have a link for how you can register. Short pause now on the record. After the break, what it takes to be a foreign aid worker. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. 68 million people in the world are displaced, ripped from their homes by war, famine, persecution, or some other calamity. Most are displaced within their own countries, which have widely disparate resources to help them. International aid, as from UN agencies, is limited, and non-governmental organizations like Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, often work together to run camps for displaced persons. Donna Canale has been a field nurse and medical team leader on 14 assignments around the world with Doctors Without Borders. She has seen firsthand what displaced people's lives are like, and she's coming to Baltimore Monday to share some of what she's seen. Médecins Sans Frontières practices Western medicine. Is there a conflict with traditional healers in some places?
Certainly a lot of people, at least in the projects I've been in, a lot of the folks have been much more used to working with traditional healers and have little or no knowledge of Western medicine. So our policy is certainly to respect traditional healers and what they do. So what we often, if it's possible, do in a project is try to meet the traditional healers that people are normally going to. to give them an understanding of what we do, to get an understanding of what they do. And sometimes with that, traditional healers will then more quickly refer people to our clinic when they realize they really can't help them. Unfortunately, there are a couple of things. All our care is free. We don't charge for anything. Many traditional healers do charge something, and often people they're working with have very, very little to begin with, so money can be an issue. So we really try to get an understanding back and forth, and also recognize that sometimes traditional healing may work for folks, and that, that is their choice to do that. We just want to give them that choice.
I'm struck, given that we've had headlines here in the United States recently about a measles outbreak because of kids not being vaccinated, that vaccinations have been a big part of your work in various missions.
Yeah, absolutely true. We've seen, unfortunately, so many, particularly children under five, who contracted measles and died from it, became very sick. And in a camp, again, refugee or internment displaced persons camp, one case of measles is considered an epidemic because the virus spreads so quickly. And often many of the children we work with, besides being traumatized for other reasons, they may be malnourished, they may be suffering from some other illness, so they're much more susceptible to die from diseases that could have been prevented by vaccination, or could have been easily treated if their bodies weren't already stressed from malnutrition, for instance. So we're big proponents of vaccinations. We know they save lives. They absolutely save lives. They're very easy prevention, and in many countries, again, because of upsetness around people having to be on the move, a lot of children have missed their usual vaccinations that they get at young ages, so they're even more susceptible than kids in a more stable environment.
Médecins Sans Frontières, as I understand it, relies mostly on individual donations for its funding as opposed to government grants.
Yes. That's absolutely correct. In the U.S., 100% of our donations are individual or from like small amounts from family foundations, for instance. We don't take any money from governments, or we don't take any money from corporations which we think might be in cause a conflict of interest or engage in some type of work that we think could be harmful to patients. So having money from individuals and having it be unrestricted is such a major important factor in us being able to respond quickly to epidemics or to emergency situations, because we don't have to go back. If on the field we see something happening, whether it's a mass movement of people, so obviously there's something going on, or an outbreak that needs an immediate response, we don't have to go back to talk to any government or any organization and saying, hey, can we change what we're doing with this money to respond to this? No, we can respond, and we can respond very, very quickly. And that's something that's very unique, I believe, about our organization. Again, in Uganda, when there was a cholera outbreak, everybody's eyes turned to us and said, MSF, what are you going to do? And this was a lot of different international NGOs. This was the local government. And they knew we could do it, and they couldn't. And in 3 days, we were able to build a cholera treatment center, for instance, because we were already prepared. We had all the supplies needed, ready to go. We already had plans to bring in additional staff if they were called for, and we could respond to this quickly. It's one of the most unique things, I think, about MSF.
That's Donna Canelli, a medical team leader with Médecins Sans Frontières, MSF, or Doctors Without Borders, here on The Record on WIPR. Monday evening at 6:30 at the Baltimore Museum of Art, she'll be sharing some of her experiences from 15 years in the field. You were 57, with a long career in nursing behind you, when you decided to join MSF, and I think that was 15 years ago, so if my arithmetic is right, you're past 70. This is not most...
I'll be 72 next month.
Happy birthday. This is not most people's image of an international aid worker.
No, that's true, and it wasn't mine either in the beginning. I didn't know if I would be qualified to go, but it really isn't about age. In MSF, there's no upper age limit. It has to do more with your physical health and your background and, you know, your willingness to go into situations that might be dangerous. It's not an age, and I think that's a wonderful thing that MSF doesn't have that limit on folks. I think it becomes more self-limiting because often the conditions can be very rough, and you have to be prepared if need be. For instance, one of the questions you are often asked if you're flying, can you carry 15 pounds on your back for a couple of miles? And, I mean, that's nothing to most of us most of the time, but for some people it is. So it's one of the checks on whether or not somebody could qualify.
What do you want people to take from your talk in Baltimore?
What I'm hoping is that from hearing from myself and seeing some of my pictures and some of my stories, that they'll feel a closer connection and compassion, I guess, with what so many people are going through around the world. And also getting a picture of our shared humanity. You know, that these are, in many ways, people like you and me, people who want to live a safe life and want the best for their children. And because of the circumstances they're under, they're facing horrific conditions often. I want people to think in terms of paying attention to what's going on in the world and how actions of individuals as well as groups are affecting the treatment of people who are fleeing to seek safety and what they can do about it. Maybe they can't join MSF. Maybe they can look for a local group that's assisting refugees, for instance. And just pay attention because what's happening other places also affects us. And what's happening here is obviously affecting people around the world. I guess that's primarily it. We're one big family in some ways, and we need to look out for each other.
Donna, thanks for talking to us. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Donna Canelli is a nurse and a medical coordinator for Médecins Sans Frontières. She'll be speaking Monday evening at 6:30 in Meyerhoff Auditorium at the Baltimore Museum of Art. It's a free event at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. We have a link for how you can register. Also there, a link to information about a recruitment event Doctors Without Borders will hold at the end of next month. It's a meeting for prospective medical and non-medical aid workers to learn more about how they could become part of Doctors Without Borders fieldwork. The event starts at 6 p.m., April 30th, at the Enoch Pratt Library Southeast Anchor, 3601 Eastern Avenue in Highlandtown. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for joining us on The Record. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!